Welcome back to National Post Radio. I'm Emily Jackson, and you're listening to SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167. We're joined now by Brett Skinner. He's the CEO of the Canadian Health Policy Institute, joining us to discuss his Financial Post column on why Trudeau is spreading big pharmacare myths that Canadians can't afford medicine. Brett, thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
So walk me through, what is your argument about this, what you say is a myth that Canadians can't afford medicine?
Well, I'm sure your audience is aware, the federal government last year struck an advisory council on the implementation of a national farm care program, and their work is expected to be completed later this spring. And advocates of national pharmacare, those folks who want to see a national, universal, publicly funded drug plan to replace all existing public and private drug plans, their argument has been that out-of-pocket costs for prescription drugs are so high that it presents a trade-off for millions of Canadians, forcing people essentially to make a choice between basic necessities like food, heat, and rent versus necessary medicines. And so the Canadian Health Policy Institute investigated that claim and found it to be grossly exaggerated.
What did your investigation find?
Well, we looked at out-of-pocket spending on prescription drugs relative to select expenditures across several income categories. So 10 income deciles from the lowest income households the highest income households across Canada. And we obtained data from Statistics Canada, which was sourced from the survey of household spending. We found that in the lowest income categories, households spent around $390 average per year on out-of-pocket prescription drug costs. And that ranged up to just over $1,200 for the highest income households. But if you looked at the cost as a percentage of income, it was much more affordable as household income increased. Out-of-pocket drug costs range from about 3% income at the poorest levels down to about 0.4% of income for the wealthiest households. So the burden was felt to be much heavier down at lower income levels. What we found, which was interesting, was that we compared expenditures at all income levels to discretionary expenditures, things that could be traded off against prescription medicines, things other than food, rent, and heat. And we found that, for instance, the cost of food purchased from restaurants exceeded out-of-pocket costs for prescription drugs in all income categories. And the same could be said for entertainment and also for expenditures on tobacco and alcohol, so that people were spending more on these discretionary expenditures than they were spending on out-of-pocket prescription drug costs.
Which, you know, is one of those things that you see across the board, you know, this discretionary spending. Interesting that you do see this across the income brackets. But what struck me is that for the lowest income, they were spending about $390 a year on prescription drugs, up to more than $1,200 a year for the highest income households. I mean, presumably, if, you know, this to me doesn't say that they are healthier at the lowest income and don't need as many prescription drugs. Does it say that they simply can't afford them? I mean, were you able to measure that at all?
Our study didn't look at the health across income categories. That's another issue altogether. But what it does show is that out-of-pocket spending on prescription drugs relative to other household expenses, common household expenses, even things like telephone expense, is affordable, and that there are discretionary expenses that can be traded off before food, heat, and rent for people to afford their out-of-pocket prescription drug costs. But what's important for your audience to understand is that across every jurisdiction in Canada, that is every provincial and federal jurisdiction in Canada, there are publicly funded drug plans and programs that shield people from out-of-pocket costs for prescription medicines that exceed very low percentages of their income. Ontario has, for instance, the Trillium drug program, so that if anybody's lacking a private drug insurance plan or lacking status based on their age or income or Aboriginal status for access to a regular public drug plan in Ontario, and they face out-of-pocket costs that exceed 3% of their income, once those costs exceed that 3% of their income, they're fully covered under the public drug plan known as Trillium. And so ultimately, out-of-pocket costs for prescription drugs are capped across all jurisdictions in Canada.
Absolutely. So with your institute, obviously, you're not in favor of this national pharmacare plan. Proponents of the plan have said having a single payer could reduce the overall cost of drugs, just having a bigger purchasing power. Why don't you support this?
Well, we don't support national pharmacare because it's unnecessary. The arguments that are offered in favor of national pharmacare are not based in fact. The out-of-pocket costs, the ones we looked at in this study here, in fact, are just one of the myths that we bust in our research program focused on national pharmacare. But also, national pharmacare would be bad for patients. Right now, about 23 million Canadians obtain their drug insurance through private drug plans, and about 13 million Canadians are covered for regular public drug plans or are otherwise covered by the safety net programs like Ontario Trillium. And what our research has shown is that private drug plans tend to cover more new drugs, about twice as many as public drug plans do, and cover them almost immediately, whereas the wait times in public drug plans can be quite long for the drugs that do get listed. So if national pharmacare was to shift the entire population of Canadians under one national public drug plan, then we would just universalize that shabby public coverage. And essentially, we do nothing to improve coverage for those who are currently under existing public drug plans. And we would reduce the benefits that are offered to folks under currently enjoying private drug plans. So we argue that it's unnecessary and that it's bad for patients. And it's also very costly for taxpayers. A parliamentary budget officer estimated that it would add over $19 billion in the first year to the federal budget. And that includes over $7 billion in new costs for taxpayers. And we've done some research to calculate that could be much higher. And so our argument is essentially that national pharmacare is unnecessary. It's bad for patients and costly for taxpayers.
What do you see as the best way forward then? I know a lot of people, even if they aren't supportive of national pharmacare, aren't super supportive of the status quo. As you said, you know, great if you do have that private, drug policies through, typically through whatever employer you have. What about for those people who don't and don't necessarily have access to drugs that could help them more quickly? How do you see Canada addressing that?
Well, what we should be doing is targeting a relatively small number of people who face real challenges affording prescription drugs. And so we are advising the council to look at people in the lowest income deciles who have uninsured prescription drug costs that exceed 3% of their household income. And that represents a much more manageable size of population. There's no reason to, essentially it's very wasteful and unnecessary to force the entire population into a national single-payer national pharmacare program when really we could be directing our resources to help folks in the lowest income deciles who have those higher costs as a percentage of their income. You know, the next thing we could do is we could improve access to new medicines under public drug plans that currently exist, which is where a lot of the gaps occur. Even if you're covered under a public drug plan now or covered under a safety net program like Ontario Trillium, you're still only covered for the drugs that the government is willing to list on their formularies. And as I pointed out earlier, that tends to be much fewer than what exists under private drug plans. So we need to improve the coverage for new medicines under existing Apollo drug plans as well.
When it comes to a decision on this, do you expect the Liberals to make a decision before the election this fall?
Yeah, I think all expectations are that the National Council on the Implementation of PharmaCare will finish its work and make a recommendation on what type of PharmaCare they're going to recommend for Canada. And I think that'll be the basis for a Liberal Party platform for the next election, which is expected to be taking place in November of this year. Also, the NDP has part of their platform to adopt a full-on national PharmaCare monopoly. I call it a monopoly because it'll replace all existing private and public drug plans. I think the Liberal Party might move towards something like a national PharmaCare light instead of the full-on program that many advocates are recommending or advocating for. But it's hard to say where they'll end up on that.
Yeah, always hard in an election year to predict where they'll end up, but certainly expected to be a big topic. Thank you for joining us to discuss your column on the matter. Shed some light on the pros and, or rather, the cons of national PharmaCare. Thanks so much, Brett.
Thank you.
That was Brett Skinner. He's the CEO of the Canadian Health Policy Institute, which is a think tank that researches potential Canadian health policies. Joining us to discuss his column on the on PharmaCare and a national PharmaCare plan. You can read it at financialpost.com.